Paul had sent Timothy and Titus to Timothy to Ephesus, Titus, I believe, to Colossae. And part of their job was to find men who were capable of leading the church. And so Paul is writing to Timothy and Titus, and he reminds them. He says, "This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer, which is an elder or pastor, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil." So what are we doing today? The concept of ordaining for the specific purpose of ministry extends all the way back to Moses, who ordained Aaron as high priest to serve God and the people. He ordained the priests to serve God in the temple. He ordained the tribe of Levi, or the Levites, to serve God by helping the priests. And he ordained Joshua to serve as the new leader of the new nation of Israel. So you can see, ordination has a long history. You will notice that the word ordained is associated with another word. Did you catch it? Let me read that again. He ordained Aaron as high priest to serve God and the people. He ordained the priests to serve God in the temple. He ordained the tribe of Levi to serve God by helping the priests. He ordained Joshua to serve as the new leader of the new nation of Israel. What's the word? Serve. Excellent. Whenever someone was ordained, they were set apart to serve God, and to serve their fellow brothers and sisters. In the book of Numbers, we find the very first ordination of elders. The backstory is this: the people of Israel were thinking about themselves more than they ought to. Does that sound familiar? Even though God had provided food for them in the form of manna, and never once did they go without food, they began to complain about not having other types of food. There was much complaining going on, and it had its effect on Moses as a leader. It wore him down, and he too began to think only of himself. God heard the complaining, and he told Moses to set apart 70 elders. And this is what he says. Numbers chapter 11. Verse 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you, and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone." I want to read the rest of the story, because this is one of the stories I really like. It's, God has such a sense of humor. "And say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat, for it is better for us in Egypt? Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall not eat just one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out at your nostrils." I love that. You want to complain against me? All right. All right, let me skip down here. Let me see. "So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men," this is verse 24, 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him, on Moses, and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. The elder is a burden-bearing position. It's not, you know, some people in some churches, I think that the elder position is a position of prestige. It's not. It is a burden-bearing position. It's a position of service, and it's meant to be done with other men who are called to do the same. The position of elder continued throughout the history of Judaism and naturally found its way into Christianity. We see elders in the Church of Jerusalem who served alongside the apostles. We see Paul establishing elders in every church he planted. We see elders serving leadership positions in these churches. The task of leading the church as an elder is a huge task and not one to be taken lightly. The Bible gives clear imperatives as to the type of person who serves in this capacity. Let me read Titus 1:6 through 9 now, explaining the character of an elder, much like 1 Timothy. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. We believe that Dave and Tim meet the qualifications set forth in Scripture. We do not believe either to be perfect examples of Christ, but we do believe they both honestly seek to be perfect examples of Christ. Gentlemen, as elders, you are called to be the example which all others in the congregation are to emulate. You are to be first followers of Jesus. That concept is maybe a little foreign, but it comes from the fact that when Jesus began his ministry, there were men who saw him as being the potential Messiah. And after they followed him for a little while, they went to their friends, their family members, and they said, "Come, you've got to see this man. He's fulfilling Scripture. He's doing this. He's doing that." And instead of just leading people, they set the example for them as first followers of Jesus. So we charge you, Dave and Tim, to live up to this calling. Remember, you are leading the church that Christ loved and died for. Ephesians 5:23-27 affirms Christ's view of the church. Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Peter gives an exhortation to the elders of the churches he writes to. In this exhortation, we discover much about shepherding a church and with what attitude elders should have. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Peter writes this, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, in this passage, there were some things about elders, but there was also some things about the church. Did you catch that? You know, in my ministry and in my teaching, I really try to teach what Scripture says and not avoid. If there's a controversial subject, I want to teach about it because that's what Scripture says, right? And you guys have heard me talk about homosexuality, talk about divorce, talk about things like that. Well, there's one thing that I kind of do avoid, and I need to stop avoiding it. And it's the fact that Scripture teaches the church to follow its leadership. I don't often say anything because I don't want to sound self-serving, but if I'm going to teach Scripture and teach what it says, this is one area that I need to teach what it says. So to the church I give the exhortation, as Peter said, humble yourselves, and as the author of Hebrews says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for this would be no advantage to you. The time has come for Kingman Christian Church to move forward in fulfilling God's purpose for the church, the capital C church. We will be taking bold steps and doing new things all along, encouraging you, the members of this church family, to step out of your comfort zones, reprioritize your life, and do the work that you have been called to do. It will require obedience and submission. Just as the elder is called to lead and serve in humility, so it is the church called to follow in humility. With this in mind, let us pause to pray for God's blessing this morning as we continue with this ordination ceremony. And I'd like to have Dave and Tim come on up, please. Right. Where's your large print? There you go.
Let us pray. Father God, we set these men before you this morning. You know that we have sought your guidance in identifying men who will lead this church. We ask that you would bless these men as they affirm their desire to be leaders whose hearts are for you. Give each man here the resolve to put you first in their lives and follow you with all their hearts. Enable these men to be examples for all of us to follow. Help them to only do what first pleases you, and then what benefits this church, as this body seeks to fulfill its duty of unity and discipleship. Give these men strength and resolve right now. Your will be done. Amen.
All right, this question is, we're going to use a couple questions here for you, for the church. Have you, as the church unified, the body of Christ, soberly considered the decision to set apart Dave and Tim as elders of Kingman Christian Church? And is it your desire that they be ordained in this position today? If so, please answer, we have. Awesome. Dave and Tim, Is it your desire today to acknowledge and accept the position of elder? Do you promise to be faithful servants of Jesus Christ and strive to faithfully adhere to his words and commands found in the Holy Bible? Do you promise to serve this congregation through the setting of an example of a faithful disciple and servant of Jesus Christ? And do you promise to humbly seek God's wisdom in making decisions that encourage this church to fulfill its purpose of unity and discipleship? Awesome.
Concept of laying on of hands actually comes from Moses as well as ordination. It is symbolic of the impartation of the mantle of servant leadership. So we continue the tradition of laying on of hands as we ordain these men as elders. Dave and Tim, you have declared your purpose to serve Jesus Christ in the ministry of leadership and have received the approval of this church to take on such a mantle in order that you may be maybe formally set apart for this holy calling. Will you now kneel and receive the laying on of hands as we ask the blessing of God upon your ministry and future leadership of Kingman Christian Church?
I'd like to ask everybody to, we don't do this that often, but in unity, if you would reach out your hand towards Dave and Tim.
Let's pray. All-knowing and all-wise God, who in the early church selected workers to continue Jesus' ministry on earth, bless this service of ordination and dedication. You know these men's hearts, Lord. You know the needs of this congregation. We believe that you have guided us in our selection of these men, and we ask now that your Spirit empower these servants for the ministries that you have assigned them. Cleanse their hands and their hearts. Give them wisdom to determine what should be done, courage to begin, and strength to finish. Protect them and us from the division and strife, but grant harmony and peace. May repetition not make them indifferent, nor habit tempt them to offer you less than their best. Rather, may their sacrifice of time and effort be worthy of him who sacrificed his all for his church. Thank you, Father, for considering these men faithfully and calling them to this service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, you may stand here. And so, being a pastor of Kingman Christian Church entitles you to all the work that I do. Praise God. You get to do marriage ceremonies, funerals. Robbie already did a marriage ceremony and did a wonderful job at that. So here are these certificates of ordination. And, guys, welcome to the team. All right. I did. I'll spell it right later. So you're just joking. All right. Will you please stand? We're getting done a little early today. So you can beat the Baptists to Golden Corral today. And, I'm excited. I don't know how to really convey this as much as I feel. But I felt kind of in limbo for a little while as Matt stepped down preparing to leave and Mark stepping down because of work and stuff. So we've just kind of been in limbo, and I've been waiting for Tim and Dave to step up. And we want to move forward as a church. God has called us to be a light in the surrounding community and beyond. He's called us to make disciples. And we've got to step out of our comfort zone, and we've got to start thinking things a little differently and doing things a little differently. So I'm really excited, and I hope you guys can start praying about it right now. Just start praying for us as elders as we seek God about what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. And a lot of it is going to seem maybe countercultural. It's going to seem a little different than what other churches have done. But I got to be honest, what other churches are doing don't seem to be doing it. Is that good English there? I want to be doing it. I want our church to be doing it. And so please keep us in prayer, and we're going to get rolling, get going here. So will you pray with me? Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for an opportunity just to come to you and just really praise you this morning with our children, and what a joy it is to see them worshiping you. Some of the best moments are when we look, we're worshiping or praising, and we look down and see the kids with their hands up, or see them singing at the top of their lungs, and it just enhances our worship to you. So I just thank you for that opportunity this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together and pray together, to share in communion together, to share in your word together, and then to participate in this ceremony of ordination. God, we pray blessing upon this church as we move forward, as we seek to do what you've called us to do, and as we try to introduce you to as many people in this community as possible, so that people can know the truth, that they won't be lost, that they won't be headed in the direction they're headed in right now. For some reason, you have laid that responsibility on us. And Father, I don't want to be up in heaven and as you were going through our life and stuff, and you just say, you missed this opportunity, you missed this opportunity, you missed this opportunity. I want to hear good and faithful servant. And that's just talking to me. It's talking to the church. It's talking to KCC. Good and faithful servant. You did what I called you to do. So help us to be a church that does just that. Help us to get it out of our minds that there's a certain way to do it, or there's a way that our culture has been telling us to do it, that we have to do it. But help us just to do it the way that you show us to. Give us opportunity this week to share the good news with someone. May our eyes be open, and we have the right words to say. Help us resist the temptation to live as the world lives. Help us to be obedient to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Kingwood Christian Church. Thank you for this family. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.